How do you do? Have you ever tried to be good? Doesn't last very long, does it? Well, the man in this story tried at various times in his life to be good, to please others, but he couldn't. So he quit trying and lived to please himself. And that really got him in trouble. But today, it's a different story, all because his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Lighting the darkness with true life stories that proclaim the good news, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Uncertainty marks the life of homeless people. Where to go when it's dark or cold, how to find the next meal, why even go on? Pacific Garden Mission has the answers to all these questions and more. Since 1877, the old lighthouse has been a refuge for people living on the streets, giving them safety and food, medical and dental care, clean clothing, and hope, all free thanks to the generous gifts of caring friends and listeners. The mission offers classes and counseling to help those on the outside of life come into the light. Pastors introduce them to the one whose steadfast love never changes, and yet he changes everything, as this story demonstrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2571 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I couldn't get through. All the roads are flooded.
Oh, thank God you came back. I was really worried about you.
The wind is not as bad, but the water's still rising.
I know. I've been listening to the news.
This is a disaster. I've got to get through and find out how bad it is.
John, there isn't much you could do anyway.
You don't know that.
Well, they're telling people to stay off the roads unless it's absolutely necessary.
Well, I've got to find out if the business is gone. If it is, we're in big trouble.
If you go out again, I'm going with you.
Well, maybe there's a back road open.
It's like another world. Look at the trees blown down.
I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, John, look at that. It's nothing but water everywhere. The road used to go through there.
We should be able to see the business from this road. Where is it?
Are you sure this is the right place?
Yes, I'm sure. It's gone. Everything is gone. The cars, the gas station, the parts store. There's nothing left. We're ruined.
Although calamity can break some people, for others, disaster serves as a turning point. For the man in our story, Hurricane Agnes of 1972 was proof that God was out to get him. For his wife, the storm was an answer to prayer. We'll let him tell you how the two divergent points of view were reconciled, and he was rescued from himself. This is the true story of John Pickett, right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in Maryland, in a loving home, the second son of three with one younger sister. Everyone called me an angel because I tried so hard to please my parents. I kept my room clean, came home when they called, and didn't talk back. My only problem was stuttering, which made me feel mentally retarded. I attended church often, until 15. I tried very hard to live for God because I was told that only good people go to heaven.
Hey, John, you want a smoke?
Nah.
How come? You sissy?
Yeah. I just never did, that's all.
Probably don't cuss either. Yeah. But you still go to Sunday school, don't you?
Oh, yeah, so what?
Well, that's the problem. You're a Sunday school wimp. Break away, man. Here, try it. Well, maybe you can hang with us.
My attitude changed towards my parents. Instead of trying to please them and God, I worked at pleasing my peers, which meant smoking, drinking, pornography, even stealing. I forgot about God and told myself I was being independent, living for myself. My stuttering stayed with me except when I was singing, so I sang in choirs and was lead soloist for years. When I was 16, Dad bought me a convertible, and I became very popular. I met Sue when I was 17 and she was 15. I knew right away that she was the one for me.
I was afraid you wouldn't like me, John.
Why?
Because I'm Jewish.
Are you kidding? As soon as I saw you walking across campus, I wanted to meet you.
So what do you do but yell, "Hey, Sue, you've got to run in your hose." I was so embarrassed.
What did guys know? At least you knew who I was after that.
Oh, I knew who you were. Gail told me you're the most popular guy in school. She didn't have to tell me you're also the best looking.
I want you to wear this, Sue.
Your class ring? Oh, John, really?
We're going together now, honey.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I almost lost this ring in the front yard. Boy, did I search hard to find it. Actually, I promised God I would follow him if he would help me find the ring. He did, but I didn't. Sue and I became engaged when she was 18. I had graduated and was singing with a group and working for my dad. About that time, however, I was asked to be the lead singer in a newly formed rock band. We were a big success.
You slept late.
Got in late, Dad. You should have been there. Man, the girls were screaming and asking for my autograph. It was fantastic.
You've got a great future, son.
It's fantastic. We're already signed with some nightclubs in Baltimore.
Oh?
Adult nightclubs, not teenager ones. The Polish weddings are behind us.
Great, I'm proud of you.
To think I'm getting paid to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I never dreamed this would happen to me. We're talking about cutting a record.
That could put you in the big time.
Would it ever?
Well, if you need backing, I'll help you.
Well, thanks, Dad. Wait till I tell Sue. Oh, no.
What?
I was supposed to see her this afternoon, but the band is meeting with a lawyer about the record deal.
Well, how is she taking all this fame?
She's not happy that I'm so busy. Hi, Sue. How are you, baby?
Looking forward to seeing you.
Oh, I can't make it, honey. We've got a big meeting with our lawyer about cutting a record. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, John, it's been more than a week since you were here.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have rehearsal right after the meeting for tonight's gig.
I never see you anymore.
But my career is taking off. When we're established, then we can write our own ticket. You'll see.
I don't like what's happening to us, John. This thing is changing you too much. You have to choose. Either you go on with the music or you go on with me. You can't have both.
I didn't give her an answer right away because that was a hard choice. I loved the fame, the dreams of a career in show business, but I deeply loved Sue. If this was the woman I wanted to spend my life with, I had to please her. In the end, I withdrew from the rock band and we were married in August 1966. I worked for my father in the motor oil business as we set about living the American dream. One day, Sue surprised me.
Let's go to church this Sunday, John.
What?
Well, my sister came over today, and you know how she is. She's always on edge with the kids. Well, she had the most amazing peace about her. She's been going to church.
What do your parents think about that?
I'm not sure. John, she was just glowing. She said Jesus really is the Messiah, that he died for us because he loves us.
Sue, I grew up with that stuff. I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to go to church on any Sunday.
Do you mind if I go with her?
Go ahead. Sue had been to church with her sister about four times when she came home and announced that she believed Jesus was the Messiah, and she was following him. Right away, she began to change, and I didn't like what was happening. Sue, what's wrong with going to a nightclub?
I don't want to go out dancing and drinking, John. Nightclubs are such a waste, and the smoke is awful.
You're turning into a real drag.
Well, there are other things we can do besides go out and drink.
Like what?
Like get together with friends.
Oh, I don't like your Christian friends. They don't smoke, they don't drink, and they think they're better than the rest of us.
John, they don't. That's just your perception. They're a lot of fun.
Spare me the fantasy. There's no such thing as religious fun.
But you haven't given it a chance.
I have. I spent the first 15 years of my life trying to be good, to please God, and it isn't possible. So don't talk to me about God. Our son Brandon was born in 1970, but even his birth didn't bring peace to our troubled home. We grew further apart. I made good money, but I poured myself into my work and poured alcohol into my body. Sue wouldn't go out drinking with me, so I stayed out late drinking with the guys. and girls, and I began experimenting with drugs and morality. I lived to please myself.
John, I was worried about you.
I'm fine.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
So?
Where were you?
Well, with the guys.
Some woman called. She said she knew where you were.
Crank call.
Was it? John, what's happening to us?
You ought to know.
I love you, but you act as if you can't stand me. Please, John, the Lord is our only hope. Won't you consider...
No! I don't want to hear that.
I became afraid of John. Some nights he didn't come home at all, and when he did show up, his eyes were glazed. I prayed that the Lord would stop him. Then Hurricane Agnes hit. John received a call that the water had risen halfway up the door of the auto parts store. He tried to drive there, but couldn't get through. We tried again later and found a back road open, but couldn't see the business from the road because the river had risen 30 feet or more, covering everything. When the water went down, there was nothing left. What's wrong?
The insurance company won't pay.
How can that be?
They said it was an act of God. What a cop-out.
Well, we can start over, John. At least we survived, and we still have a home.
This is so unfair. I hate God.
John!
I let God alone, didn't bother him at all, and now he's interfering with my life. He's got it in for me, that's what.
He doesn't, John. You don't understand.
Oh, I understand. I know what he's doing, and he's not going to beat me. Don't you ever talk to me about God again, Sue.
How to resolve a crisis like that? We'll find out in just a moment. Do Your Own Thing is fraught with peril, as John Sanders learned. His story was first broadcast on Unshackled, then published as a comic book that we'd like to send you free of charge. Simply write and ask. The John Sanders comic book tells in graphic illustrations how he went astray using drugs and then turned to crime and ended up in prison 3 times. But God changed his life at Pacific Garden Mission. And today, John's story is helping others avoid the road he took. John's story, adapted by Florida artist Bill Waters, illustrates God's power and grace that can change any life and is inspiring for any age. The comic book concludes with scripture and a prayer of commitment, making this an effective tool for evangelizing the lost. And yet, it's small enough to slip into your pocket. So write today for your free copy of the John Sanders comic book. You can also order copies on our website, www.unshackled.org. Our mailing address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I prayed that God would turn things around. Surely the disaster would bring John to Christ. But his attitude hardened, and the next 3 days he sat rocking in a rocking chair, staring at the wall. He wouldn't speak to anyone. John, I called the people we owe, and they've all been very understanding. They know the situation, and they're willing to take small payments as we can afford to make them. Your dad thinks you can easily work for some other car dealer selling cars, so don't worry. I know it's hard, but we still have a lot to be thankful for. And Brandon needs his daddy.
I carried on, trying to bury the bitterness. For a while, I pumped gas and sold cars. Then a high school friend came to me and asked if I would like to go into partnership in a painting business. I agreed. It was a struggle at first, but we worked hard. Just as the business started to grow, more problems developed. This is John.
John, how's it going?
Oh, not too good, Dad. I'm having to run the business alone because my partner has health problems.
Oh, that's too bad, John.
And I've discovered there's money missing.
Someone embezzling?
My partner's been writing checks and not telling me.
Uh-oh, that's serious.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe he would do that.
Well, you'd better sit down with him and have an understanding.
I think it's time to split up. I can't trust him.
Talk to a lawyer, then.
Yeah. What is it with people, anyway? You can't trust anyone. We dissolved the partnership, and I renamed the company. Starting with three or four men, we grew until I had 24 employees. Things were looking up. In 1974, our daughter, Rebecca, was born. But I was still drinking, doing drugs, and popping pills. One night, when I came home, Brandon, our five-year-old son, said, "Daddy, when are you going to ask Jesus into your heart?" I slapped him and left him crying in his bed.
Brandon's in his room crying. He said you slapped him.
You bet I did. And it's your fault.
What are you talking about?
He started bugging me about Jesus. When are you going to get saved?
What's wrong with that?
You put him up to that, didn't you?
Of course not. We pray for you, that's all.
Well, don't. I told him never to say that to me again.
John, I can't believe you.
Well, believe it. I warned you enough times. Don't you dare use our son to get at me. I don't want your religion.
This is the end, John. You've gone too far. I think you should leave.
No! I'm not giving up my children. You leave if you're so unhappy.
John grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me in his fury, and I yelled just as hatefully. Neither of us would leave, so we lived in stalemate where the atmosphere was frigid. I couldn't believe what was happening to us in spite of all my prayers. As we drifted further apart, I began going to the pastor's wife for counseling.
Don't give up hope, Sue.
I can't help it. He seems to be getting worse instead of better. I can't stay in the marriage if he's going to be abusive.
Sue, there's a battle going on for John's soul. If you walk away, Satan wins. He's destroyed another family.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
Keep praying for him. God is the author of marriage. He'll help you if you're willing to be used.
Brandon and I both pray for him, but John stays out half the night and comes home drunk. I'm sure he's seeing other women.
Oh, you can't change him, Sue. Only God can. Just love him with God's love. And instead of cutting him down, let him be the head of the home. That's God's plan for every husband.
The way he lives?
Let him know that in order to be the head of the home, he has to read the Bible to the children and pray with them.
I went along with Sue's request that I read scripture to the family, and the wisdom contained in the reading began to work on me. But I tried to push the thoughts away. About this time, more problems erupted at work. This is John.
How are things going, John?
Well, I'm dealing with some irate employees.
What's wrong?
Remember a couple months ago I told you about that big construction firm that stopped paying us?
Yes, I thought the bank stepped in to back the project.
Well, that's what they said. They told us to keep doing the work and they would pay us. So we kept working. Now the bank is backing out.
How much money is owed you?
$27,000.
And now you can't pay your employees?
No. I've laid off workers and started selling my trucks and equipment. We might be facing bankruptcy, but I don't want to do that.
Well, you're going to go under.
My marriage and my business were both on the rocks. I had no purpose in life, so I turned to alcohol and drugs even more. And one night, driving home, I decided, why live? I would end my life by driving into a bridge embankment. At the last minute, I swerved. I vowed to hit the next two bridges, but each time, I swerved. Revulsion swept over me because I couldn't even kill myself.
Hi, John. I think dinner's still hot. I'll get it for you.
I'm not hungry.
I'll save yours then. You might be hungry later.
I'm gonna lie down.
John, there's a film at the church I wish you'd go with me to see.
Oh, I don't feel like it, Sue.
Please, honey. It's supposed to be very good. I wish you'd go with me.
All right. The film represented the story of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15. It reached a place in my heart that had been closed for a long time, but I didn't let it show. Maybe this was the answer, but pride stood in the way of making a decision at the end. Sue noticed the impact it had on me and asked if I accepted the Lord. I lied and said yes to get her off my back. She shared it with the pastor's wife.
Doris, I have great news. John received the Lord as his Savior tonight during the film.
Oh, that is good news. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for you for a long time, John.
Thanks. Guess I needed it.
There's a seminar on biblical principles coming up. Why don't you and Sue join the pastor and me?
Oh, we'd love to.
It lasts a week, so you'll get a good grounding in faith.
I didn't want to go, but there was no way to get out of it. They all thought I was saved and eager to join them, so I'd have some explaining to do if I backed out. The first night of the seminar was torture, but I endured it. The second night, the walls began to crumble.
Well, last night we talked about the nature of man and how we all sin in spite of our best efforts because we're born without the Spirit of God. That's the bad news. The penalty for sin is death, the death of our hopes and dreams, the death of relationships, and ultimately the death of our souls. Tonight, we'll talk about God's plan of redemption. That's the good news. That God loves us so much he sent Jesus to die for our sins so we could be cleansed and made holy enough to come into his presence. God has a good plan for your life. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The blood of Christ washes away all our sins. Faith in him is the only door to being born again of the Spirit of God. He is the door to new life. People try to please God by doing good works, but the only way to please God is by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus.
At the end of the seminar, when the pastor invited us to raise our hands to receive Christ, I wanted to raise mine, but I was afraid Sue would see and know I had lied. That evening, we had a long talk.
I'm so glad you went to the seminar, John.
I have to admit, I liked it better than I thought I would. And you know something else? I always thought Christians had to be perfect, but I'm beginning to see they're just ordinary people.
With a way to be forgiven when we mess up.
When I was out with a pastor this week, he smashed his thumb in a door and didn't even swear. I would have. But he just yelped in pain.
It's amazing the changes God makes when his Spirit comes to live in you.
Something else I realized at the seminar. When you hold bitterness in, it destroys you.
I had to learn that too. Forgiveness is God's way to experience peace.
I guess God decided the best way to teach that principle was to demonstrate it by giving his Son so we could have forgiveness.
Oh, John, it's so wonderful to talk about these things with you.
We've needed to talk for a long time, Sue. Over the weekend, I pondered my near experience with salvation. Why hadn't I raised my hand? Pride? Fear? Doubt? I knew I had to do something. On Monday, I was alone on a construction site, so I knelt down and prayed aloud, "Lord, I need a new life. I need a new purpose. I know I have sinned and done horrible things. If you can make anything out of my life, I ask you to come into my life and save me. Give me a new heart so I can live for you. I know I'm 30 years old and probably a has-been, but if you can do anything, I'm yours. Please heal my marriage and give me a new start."
The transformation in John was dramatic. His whole demeanor changed, and his stuttering stopped. We had to make restitution for our debts of $40,000, but the Lord helped us work it out. John quit his job to work at the church, went to Bible college, and then we worked at a children's camp for a child evangelism ministry. During that time, God spoke to my husband about going into full-time ministry. But when he was asked to become director of child evangelism in Maryland, he panicked.
Sue, you won't believe what happened.
What?
Well, I was praying about that offer to be the new director. Uh-huh. I just felt so inadequate. How could I lead people who've been saved for years? They'd be looking to me for guidance and directions, and who was I?
Sounds like Moses to me.
Well, I was looking in the Bible for an answer or a reason to turn the job down, and I came across this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Which verse?
27.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Isn't that great? There isn't anyone more foolish or weak in the things of God than I am.
So you'll take the job?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
We worked in child evangelism for 9 years, and during those years we traveled and sang as a family. God used the musical talent he gave me to glorify his kingdom. In 1990, I went back to school for more training in counseling. In 1994, I responded to the call to pastor a local church in Virginia where Sue and I use our counseling training in the ministry.
As our daughter recently wrote, the man who once cursed God is now serving Christ. The couple that almost separated is now helping other families grow in the Lord. Brandon is a news anchorman at our local television affiliate and also serves as music director at our church. And Becky with her family are missionaries in Belgium.
We hope John Pickett's testimony encouraged you as much as it did us. There is no situation, no personal failing beyond God's help. Nothing is impossible with God. If you would like to turn your life around, if you would like to have forgiveness for the past and grace for the trials, invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life right now. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. We're glad you listened and hope you spread the good news by telling others when and how to hear these inspiring, true testimonies. Please take a moment to let the manager of this station know that you're a fan of Unshackled. This is program number 2571. Heard in the true story of John Pickett were James Schneider, Mary Jo Faraci, Larry Moran, Mike Baccarella, and Joanne Silvestrak. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. Your letter brightens our day. And the address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Anytime, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you. How do you do? It's never easy, let alone...